Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 28th of April, recording at 7:21 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, this is a little bit of a white-knuckle day in here as far as the stock markets are concerned, at least for long-only investors. The Asian markets, well, truth to tell, I haven't reviewed all of them, but not a great deal going on there. The European markets and Wall Street have been hit in here today. I think if you were able to hear yesterday's audio, I'd been talking about the manic depressive nature of the stock market mob. And of course, we're all a part of that mob and subject to those same swings of emotion. And then I really felt that after the first worry about interest rates, which markets went through, it lasted about 3 or 4 weeks. And then just after Greenspan spoke, and I should have anticipated that this was one of those cases of sell the rumor, buy the news, that when Greenspan actually indicated a further, that he was took a further step along the road here to the eventual rise in interest rates, which most people now think will occur in August, that the market might well rebound from that point, which it certainly did. So my shorts, as I've said in every subsequent audio, were premature at that time. But I mentioned in last night's audio that I really felt that markets were concentrating now entirely, or as of yesterday, still last week and yesterday, were concentrating entirely on the stronger U.S. economy, the good economic news that was coming out, the good corporate earnings news that we were actually seeing. And it was overlooking what Harold Wilson referred to so famously in another context as events, dear boy, events. And as you know, the events that concern me most here in the short term are the Middle East, where it would be an understatement to say that things in Iraq have certainly become extremely difficult. And when you review the whole background to these markets, and we think that that very predictable rally that started last year, once the war to liberate Iraq of Saddam Hussein's regime commenced, that there was an enormous amount of relief that toppling Saddam proved to be really quite easy. And the Arab Street, so-called Arab Street, had not gone berserk as many people had actually forecast. Therefore, all that talk about the clash of civilizations and so on faded into the background. Well, and you don't need to be a genius to appreciate that a lot of that's going to be recycled in terms of with all the disturbances we're seeing in the Middle East, and people are going to start to worry about the terrorism being exported abroad once again. So I think we're seeing some of that now reflected in today's sell-off. And I would also argue that in terms of all the big issues here, we have uncertainty over the election, although Bush is ahead in the polls at the moment, and that's been a little bit favorable for the market over the last week. As you know, the market likes to see the incumbent reelected because there's less uncertainty about what will actually happen. But we've got that Damoclean sword of the interest rates and Wall Street hanging over the market. Weakness of government bond prices, the rise in yields. I'm a bit disappointed to see with Wall Street selling off here today that as U.S. 30-year Treasury bonds have sold off as well. I'd taken my profit on those, as you may recall, last week. But getting back to the stock market and the short positions, well, they are looking less silly in here today. And I posted a number of charts, and we'll have a good look at those, because these markets do certainly seem vulnerable to me, although there are no guarantees. That is one bailout of everything. Well, no, I certainly haven't done that. I'm holding my Asian positions, although they can certainly experience some turbulent action, and I've seen a little bit of profit erosion in there in the last few days. I'm still holding some high-yielding stocks. I'm a little annoyed with myself that I'm still got a spread bet position in Newmont Mining, which has gone badly wrong on this additional sell-off that we've seen in the bullion price. But I feel I can live with those as long as I'm hedged. I'm really biased towards the short side, as you know. I've hedged, albeit not with equal shorts to cover the positions I actually hold, but in shorts that are in the areas of the market, A, where I can establish shorts and futures contracts, and also where I think the biggest downside exists. And those include the NASDAQ and the FTSE 100 index, the Italian MIB 30 index, and the German DAX index. And as I said a moment ago, those trades are looking a lot less ill-timed after today's action. Now, Wall Street, of course, will be critical where that actually closed. As I speak, we're down 99 on the Dow, 11 and a bit on the S&P, and 31 points on the NASDAQ composite. That's down 1.5%. The others are right around the 1% level. So not all that big. But if Wall Street closes by 100 points or lower on the Dow, let alone a reasonably bigger decline than that, that will certainly unnerve investors here over the short term. Again, we still have this background of overbought conditions up near prior resistance. Okay, what about these bond markets? Well, as I said, they are softer in here today. That's a little bit surprising, except what we're seeing today is really almost everything is down. And I guess this is part of that earlier theme that we had where everything had risen together. And then a number of people started to say, well, having seen all these things rise together, they can also all decline together. So that's my mobile. Sorry, home, I'm just making my audio. And apologies for that, but it's real life, isn't it? Should have turned the thing off. Now, where was I? On those bond markets. Right, and the fact that everything had gone up together and now we're seeing everything come off at the same time. And there's the other phone ringing. Well, I'll ignore that one and it'll stop in a moment. So where does this actually leave us? Well, the stock market cycle, I think, best we're likely to see is bumbling sideways in here for a while, but we are vulnerable to a sell-off here in the short term. In terms of other markets, we have bond markets where the secular bear trend, I think, is still in the topping out stage, but those yields are certainly going to rise over the long term, although, as I've emphasized over and over again, it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride rather than a straight line. And in terms of currency markets, now, well, we still don't have any evidence that this dollar rally is over, although the action in Iraq may well start to weigh on the dollar before too long. It's going to have to be a lot more expenditure there. Incidentally, that's inflationary. Wars are always inflationary. And the Bush administration is going to have to print a good deal more money. So I think currency markets will begin to reflect that at some stage. But at the moment, well, as of today here, we're seeing the euro weak against the dollar. It's now down to 118.23. That's down a cent in here today. And the dollar is rallying against the Japanese yen up at 110.20. Remember, though, no central bank wants a strong currency against this background, which, of course, brings us back to the gold story. But gold has been in retreat recently and is down in here today. So again, we're back to this theme of all these markets rose together on the liquidity bubble, and people just saying, right, the liquidity bubble will cause all markets to rise, so they leverage positions up, and we're seeing the great deleveraging in here, not least by hedge funds. Now, gold down at 386, to me, is, and I don't see any evidence yet that this reaction is over, but it's back in an interesting, interesting area. So this is not, in my view, a time to be jumping out of the gold market. And indeed, I feel that supply and elasticity is one of the great themes. It's certainly my theme of the year, and it will be running for quite some time. And I've been quite pleased to see a number of these commodities, mainly metals, coming down here recently. Now, be careful what you wish in the be careful what you wish for category. One of those has been silver, where I started my baby steps purchases at 6.55. That had come down 2 cents from its high earlier in the month. And I mentioned yesterday, you know, that we'd had three little days on the upside. When we'd seen that before, we had another big downward dynamic, and that it looked a bit like a dead cat, so-called dead cat bounce. Well, that's proved to be the case, as silver got thumped in here today, and it closed at 588.5. So, I think I'd mentioned to you that I'd put in a couple of more baby steps buy orders in this admittedly very risky strategy. As I said in yesterday's audio, that the silver was not my classic ideal low risk, or as low risk as things get in markets, baby steps environment, where you had a fundamentally very, very depressed market following what had been a long bear market, and we had commenced that type 3 bottoming characteristic, as I describe at the chart seminar, where you're getting the market just ranging along near the bottom because confidence is so low. It's a sort of thing where institutions who are value oriented will be, of course, delighted by that activity and will be accumulating. It's the environment where a number of us also may wish to open trades, and where any kind of stop activity will just lead to whipsaws because the market's basically choppy. But you want to have a position, and also to harvest the trading range that's taking place, so we use baby steps. Buy lightly on the dips and lighten a bit on the rallies while maintaining a core position. Well, silver wasn't that, because silver had shot up and came back down even faster, and I stepped back in when I thought this market had become interesting once again, and needless to say, it's become even more interesting here. And I had two more purchases, but this time in my dollar account. These are spread bet trades. Now, why did I switch from my sterling account to the dollar account? And that's because my first purchase is well above the market. Now, I expect the market to get back up to the 6.55 level, but that guarantees nothing, of course. It's just what I'm expecting, and my objectivity can certainly be questioned, because that's obviously what I'd also be hoping. But in switching over to the dollar account, I'll feel I've got more flexibility here on the first bounce that we see. And of course, nothing goes up in a straight line for very long, nothing goes down in a straight line for very long, as we've seen with silver. So the first time we see that bounce up, I will be lightening my position in the dollar account, and in other words, take a trading profit, and then replacing those buy orders in the bottom of the market while holding the sterling positions, looking for more, hopefully somewhere up around the $7 area. But I don't expect to see that in the short term. Now, other of these commodities, again, people have been asking me about that palladium, saying, well, it looks pretty good and it's come back. But remember, palladium was late to peak, so I'm find it very resistible at the moment. It's back at 253, partly because in terms of commonality, most of these markets are moving on the downside. So I think in stepping back in, I've been going first with something that had been hit the most, namely silver. But we had some big hits in here today. Now, nickel. Nickel's an interesting one. I'll probably illustrate some of these tomorrow. But nickel's down 755 today, down to 10,700. Remember, nickel got up to 18,000 at the beginning of the year, and then led on the way down. And it is a bit of a leader, always has been a bit of a leader, being such an important market for the construction industry. Now, nickel's beginning to look overextended on the short term, and, well, on the medium term as well. And that 10,000 area is bringing back close to quite a bit more support. Potential support, I should say, on the charts. We had some broad trading ranges, I think a little bit above 10,000. I haven't got the chart up at the moment. I will post this, try and post this tomorrow. So these are really getting quite interesting, and I will be looking to increase positions here. But I don't want to have too many positions open at any time, and so opportunistically I lightened my natural gas in here today because that had quite a good short-term rally recently, and I had been under the water with my initial purchase in natural gas. Remember, I bought it in two goes. As it came back, I doubled up the position. Selling the first in, first out basis, I took the small profit on my initial natural gas purchase earlier in the month. It was just about a fortnight ago, wasn't it? Maybe 3 weeks. And that leaves me with the other position, which I can protect with an in-the-money stop here tomorrow. I should have done that. Should have done that today, but haven't yet. I probably would have held on to the natural gas if it hadn't been for the fact that some of these other, so many of these other commodity markets weren't so weak. So I'm expecting volatility. If natural gas comes off again, I'll be in there buying, I suspect. What else to mention? That's pretty much it. Oh, I know one other thing I did want to mention is that there's a lot of activity in the forum here today, particularly in the help section. That's right at the bottom of the forum. You'll see the help button. And there's some items in there on shadowing my trades. Now, I'd be naive if I didn't think that some people did that. And I always feel a little bit ambivalent about it. And why might I feel ambivalent about it? Well, primarily because I just know that these aren't going to be appropriate for all people, and sometimes I'll take positions that I feel are, well, I wouldn't take them if I didn't feel that they were worth taking at the time, but they may be far riskier than a number of other people would wish to have, the silver, for example. And also because, to be absolutely straightforward with you, and I hope to never be anything less, I do dumb things from time to time because I'm just a student of the markets like everyone else, and I'm frequently led astray by my own human fallibilities. So what I would just say to all subscribers, always, 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 is second guess everything that I say and do. In other words, say, does it make sense? And that's where the learning process occurs. And I can remember when I first came into markets, and I would just sort of listen to people because they were, this is back in the 60s, because I think, well, they're much more experienced than I was, and then there are various sort of gurus, and you think, well, those people know, so let's listen to what they say and follow it, and I realize I'm not thinking. And again, everybody makes mistakes in this business. Everyone has the human fallibility, so therefore we need to second guess. And by that, one of the best filters, the way I like to do that, is to say, does this make sense? Is this a sensible risk? Those types of questions, and you could go on and on those. The theme of Fuller Money that we always want to to bear in mind, I certainly do at any rate, is empowerment through knowledge. And as I've said to you before, I hope to and be able to empower some of you through my experience, and I know for a certainty that a good many of you help to empower me through the interaction that we have, and through the emails that I receive, and what you now contribute to the forum, and the very fine reports that many of you send, which are always interesting. I know a few people had said, well, you know, why put those reports up? Those are just other people's views. But I read and read and read in this business, and I want to read things that don't necessarily agree with what I have to say. It's more important to read things that don't agree with what I have to say, because I want to be aware of both sides of the argument. I want to be up on the going debate. Then my final arbiter, I have to look at the charts. And we all have theories, all kinds of theories, fundamental theories, technical theories, investment theories, and that's always going to be the case. But when my theories appear to be at odds with what I see on the charts, then it's the theory, as far as I'm concerned, that's really expendable, or at least needs to be revised, because if it's at odds with what I see on the charts, then that's really not going to give me a good example of that. If I think the market's going to go up for whatever wonderful reasons I might be able to float, or others are floating, and yet I see some real weakness in the market, well, that tells me that either the theory's wrong, or it's premature, if only because the great mob out there, that manic depressive mob that moves global supply and demand, hasn't realized that maybe there is something to that theory that says it should be going up. Okay, enough on all that. Until tomorrow, because I have one last point here. Man can't stop talking, can he? And that is that Friday, I think some of you know, I'll be giving that talk. I'll be opening that, or the first speaker for that IG Index conference. And they're saying that they've had about 300 acceptances to that. So provided it doesn't rain, there's going to be quite a turnout at the Guildhall in the City of London. So I will be speaking, sort of a global strategy thing, and illustrating it with charts. And what I'm most looking forward to, though, is the Q&A section. So I'll try to run through the presentation fairly quickly. But thereafter, I will be taking a long weekend, because I'll be taking Mrs. Fuller to Edinburgh, where she's going to the Sandy Wallace bike building mecca to have her next touring bike built, measure made for her, built to measure, I should say. Not being very articulate about this. And therefore, I will not be updating the site on Friday. So I'll get in my weekly long-term big picture audio tomorrow. Now, Mark Glowry and Owen Tracy will also be at the IG Index event, and they'll be staying on far longer than I am. And if you'd like to introduce yourself, I'm sure they'd be delighted to meet you if you happen to be there. Now, lastly, Monday is a May Bank holiday, and I'll still be up there in Edinburgh. So tomorrow will be my last update of comment of the day and audio before next Tuesday. All the best.